All right, I want to invite your attention this morning to the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 13. And here the word of the Lord tells us, as John writes, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he said, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven and on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell upon the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had a wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Lord, we thank you this morning. We have the opportunity that we can come and worship in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, today that you've given us the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior and our Redeemer, that you've given us the Holy Spirit to be our Enlightener and our Comforter and our Helper. We ask you this morning, Lord, now as we look into your word, which you've given to us to reveal yourself unto us, that, Lord, today that we might take that word and apply it in our hearts and our lives, and that when we depart here today, Lord, we'll have a greater understanding of you. We'll have a greater love for you. This morning, Heavenly Father, we'll have a greater appreciation for what you've done for us through Jesus Christ, your Son. We ask you now to bless in this service. Bless our hearers this morning. Give them the blood-tipped ear of Calvary that we might this morning think this morning on the Lord Jesus. For it's in his wonderful holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Revelation 13 today introduces us to an unholy Trinity. It's the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the dragon, or literally Satan himself today. Satan's desire today is not primarily to damn people to an eternity in the lake of fire. His desire today is not primarily to entice people to sin. His great desire today is to be worshiped as God. Now, all of those other things come under that heading, but his desire, the thing that he wants most of all this morning, is to be worshiped as God. And we find this morning here in Revelation 13 that desire will be fulfilled through the Antichrist. It will come to fruition this morning in the Antichrist here in Revelation chapter number 13. You read about him in Isaiah chapter number 14, where he wants to ascend into heaven. He wants to take over the throne of God. And that's his great desire for the world, for men and women and boys and girls to bow down unto him and to worship him and to be under his authority. And so this morning, God says here in Revelation chapter 13, there's coming a day, there's coming a time when that, for a brief period of time, will come to fruition, 42 months. And we find this morning that as God has the Holy Trinity, Satan has the unholy Trinity. As we worship God today through the Lord Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, so this morning the world will one day worship Satan through the Antichrist as they are empowered by the false prophet. The Bible tells us very clearly here in the scripture this morning that the authority and his power and his seat or his throne this morning that was given to the Antichrist is given to him by the dragon this morning, by Satan. And so this morning, that's his great desire. It's going to come to fruition and fulfillment here in Revelation chapter number 13. There's a line that from a Southern gospel song of many, many years ago. And it said, "Troublesome times are here, filling men's heart with fear." And I can't think of a greater description of the days and age at which you and I live this morning. Troublesome times are here, and people's hearts are filled with fear. We look around and we see this morning the great distress of the nations, the great distress of people this morning. We're worried and we're concerned and we're looking about today and seeing all the things that are taking place in our world. We're concerned about terrorists. We have to guard our airports. We have to this morning do all kinds of things that we didn't used to do. And we are doing those things today because our hearts are filled with fear since 9/11. And today we're trying to protect ourselves in every incident against terrorism. I'm not for sure that it's working, but we're concerned. We're worried. And there's great distress in the hearts of men today because of terrorism. The economy. We're looking this morning at an economy that it's sinking fast. I didn't realize it. Yesterday I was pulled into Walmart and I looked at the gas. I thought, I got to get some gas if I'm going to get home. And when I saw the price of gas, well, the economy really hit me right between the eyes. And, you know, I was reading or listening to the radio not too long ago. I was going somewhere and I had the radio on and they were talking about that gas prices were going to come down. Now, I don't know how in the world it's coming down when it looks like it's going up. I believe 35 cents in this past week is what they said. And I received a call then a little bit later on that day from a gentleman I buy some stuff from, and he said the products are going up 14% because of the gas that they use petroleum products in the manufacture of it. And we look around and everything is increasing in price. Everything is increasing today, and people are struggling in an economy, trying to make ends meet, trying to stretch the rope so that they can get it back together, so that they can get by for another week. And we're living in a time when people are in great distress because of the economy. We find that many plants are closing. Many today are cutting back on their hours, and many people are out of work. And so that's going to create another kind of problem. But the economy is causing us great distress this morning. And we look around at our environment, and people are worried about the environment. I'm not for sure that we should be as greatly concerned as some of them are, but, you know, we do realize today that the environment is being destroyed, and God's nature and God's plan for how that we live today is being taken away from us many times. We live in a time of chaos and violence. Time we look up and pick up the newspaper or look on the television at the newscast, there's been another shooting or killing or some other kind of a violent act taking place somewhere in the United States. And, you know, we are getting where that we don't know what to turn next, and we're a little worried. Certainly today, when you send your children to school, and I think just this past week we had a bomb threat at Smithville. I got some kind of message about it. I don't know. Turned out to be nothing, but that'll probably just trigger more and more of the same thing. And, you know, you have to be careful, and you don't want to overlook that. But we're seeing violence in every area of our life, and people are getting concerned about that, certainly this morning. We see wars and rumors of wars, and, you know, it's just a world in which you and I live today. As you read Genesis chapter 6 and you look at the days of Noah, and Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. And you begin to read the days of Noah, and you see all the things that were taking place in the days of Noah. And certainly today we might say that Jesus, as he predicted that, is predicting the times in which you and I live. I know not when the Lord's coming. I can't tell you the day or the hour. But he said that it was in the days of Noah. I see a lot of these things taking place this morning. But suddenly, as we read here in Revelation chapter number 13, that a miracle man appears. A miracle man comes on the scene. Now, he's going to be the personification of evil this morning. He's going to be empowered by Satan and all of the great and beastly and evil things that have been wound up in all of the evil and wicked leaders of years past are going to be in this individual. He's going to be as wicked and as evil this morning as Satan himself, ruthless and heartless, caring for nothing or anyone this morning. We find here that God tells us that he rises out of the turmoil of the nations, out of the turmoil of the people this morning, out of the troublesome times, and suddenly we find a man with all the answers. Boy, what a great man this has got to be. What a wonderful individual this is going to be proclaimed to be this morning. He's going to have all the answers to all the problems that are facing us. And certainly we are facing all of these problems today, and when he comes on the scene, people are going to see a man that's got the answers of how to solve all of our problems. Now, when I said that he was the personification of evil and that he was going to be ruthless and heartless this morning, most people begin to think of a very wicked and very horrible-looking individual. They think today of, as they do of Satan many times, with a red suit and a pitchfork. But understand this morning, he's not going to come as that kind of individual. The Bible says that he's going to be a very charming person. Revelation chapter 6 depicts him as a rider upon a white horse. Daniel said that he'll take the kingdom, that he'll come in and take it by flattery. He'll be so charming that everybody's willing to accept him, that even if you could prove that he was lying, it wouldn't make any difference. He's going to be a very charming individual, and when he comes on the world scene and he stands this morning to become the leader of the world today, people are going to find him a great, charming individual. Very, very, very well looking, very nice looking person today. Somebody that people are going to look at it and say, boy, look what we found. You're going to be a great communicator. Articulate. Able to convey his message. And people are going to be willing to accept him. Well, it's amazing as we look about the world today and we see all of the political process that's going on. And It seems that nobody today can agree on anything. But suddenly here comes a man on the scene that's so charming and so articulate, so intelligent, so endued today that people are going to say, there's the answer. Whether they be a Republican or a Democrat, whether they be one nationality to another, he's going to unite the entire world. You see, we're looking today at not just the United States, but we're looking this morning at a global kingdom that's going to be brought together by Satan today so that the world can worship him through this Antichrist. See, that's what he wants to do. You see, when Jesus came, he came as a Messiah. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came as the Savior of our souls. He came this morning as the spiritual Savior today. This man's going to come to say, hey, look, I can save your economy. I can make it put an end to all of the violence. I, this morning, can solve all the terrorism. He's going to be able to make a pact. He's going to get a peace agreement between the nation of Israel and their neighbors, the Arabs. They're going to be able to rebuild their temple. What a man is going to be, and people are going to hail him as the greatest thing that's ever come. Little do they know behind the scenes today that he's not what he seems. He this morning is an individual who is ruthless and heartless today. And as he rises out of this turmoil that we find in the nations and the distress of people this morning, he becomes the leader of the world. The Bible says this morning that he's going to do something. And as he does this, we need to understand it. He says that he's going to cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now understand, these are those that are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's going to cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads today. A mark. Now we sometimes get all wound up and I guess myself at times I get to wondering what kind of mark is this going to be? And as technology progresses today, it could be anything. We could get into a lot of different things. And technology is advancing so fast that what's new today is old by next week. But the important thing is not what exactly and how they do this marking, but that there is a mark. What does this mark signify this morning? What is a mark, and why does he institute and put this mark in the foreheads or in the right hand of individuals today? Well, first of all, you need to realize that a mark is an identification. It identifies you. The Bible said the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Bible said the Lord has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of God. We have the mark of Christ. The Lord knows them that are his. And here the Antichrist is going to identify. He's going to mark those that are his. You're going to be identified. They're going to know who you are. They're going to know everything about you. It's identification. Then it's going to be ownership. It's about ownership. You know, out in the old West, when a man bought a horse, he branded it. When he had cattle, they branded it. I don't know much about cattle now, but I think they have to electronically, somehow or the other, brand them, don't they, Bruce? And what's that prove? That's showing the ownership of that particular cattle. You know, somebody says, you calling them cattle? I'm just telling you that the Antichrist is going to own them. They're going to belong to him. That's what the mark is about. It's going to identify them. It's going to show their ownership, who they belong to this morning. It's going to be permission. Look at what it says in verse 17. And that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. You see, this morning, you can't buy or sell unless you have this mark, unless you've been identified this morning, and unless you are belong to the Antichrist. Unless you belong to Satan this morning, you're not going to be able to buy or sell. It's about control. You see, now he's going to control you. You see, God controls us through the Holy Spirit today. He controls us through love. But here the Antichrist controls this morning through this mark. And you can't buy or sell. Now, how is he going to do this? I mean, how in the world could you get people to do this? Have you ever thought about that? How in the world could you get, and people say, well, yeah, just go ahead and give me the mark. I want the mark. Well, he does it, first of all, through charm. I'm sure most of you have heard of the frog in the kettle, how that you can put a frog in there and raise the temperature very slowly and of the water, and that the frog will set in that hot water because he'll get accustomed to it and eventually boil itself. If you throw him in a pot of hot water, boiling water, he'll try to jump out. But we're seeing the stage set right now, ladies and gentlemen. We're getting to the point now that you can't do this and you can't do that unless you, this morning, submit yourself to the regulations of the government. You ever thought about that? Now think about it. I'm not here and I'm not into politics today, but I just want you to look around you today and see all the things that are being put out. If you go into Tupelo, Mississippi, you read the Tupelo newspaper, and all at once now, if you want to buy or sell, they can tell you how big a sign you can put up. They can tell you what you can do, and they tell you every little thing. You can't buy or sell in Tupelo, Mississippi unless you are willing to subject yourself to those regulations. Now, I'm not saying anything wrong with some of those regulations, but what are they doing? They say, well, we'll charm you into it. You know, it'll make our city more beautiful. It'll produce more profit. It'll do all of these things. Over in Pontotoc, Mississippi, you can't build a building unless you've got so much greenery in your parking lot. And it's just one of those things, and we just begin to ease into those things, and eventually we're so used to it that we just don't care. We're just charmed into it. You say, well, I wouldn't be charmed into it. Well, think about this. You see, the Bible says here that as you look down in about the false prophet, that, excuse me, that in verse number 13, he says, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on sight, in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles. He's a miracle worker. You see, he's like, people say, boy, look, what a great miracle worker he is. Got to be it. But then, can't charm you, you know what he'll do? Then there comes intimidation. This is what it said. Verse 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Verse number 16, and he calleth all, both small and great, rich and poor. You see, he's going to intimidate you. Now, you say, what do you mean? Well, he's going to, he can't charm you into it. He'll just kill you. He'll put you in prison. He'll threaten your family. He'll take away everything he can. See, he doesn't care if you starve to death. He doesn't care if you make a living. He doesn't care if you freeze to death. All he wants is your worship. And so he'll do it through intimidation. Read Revelation chapter 6 when you get home. And the Bible says that people are going to bow down and worship him. I read not long ago as it talks here about how that he's able to give life unto the image of the beast. And in verse 15 it said he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And I was reading, the preacher said that, you know, they had computers now, you know, that can talk. Sure they do, you know. Many cars today you get in them, you can talk to the car. The car will talk back to you. And he said, boy, he said, that's one thing. Your wife to nag you, now the car's nagging you. I don't know how it's going to make the image of the beast come to life. My personal opinion wouldn't make any difference anyway. If you weren't here, I'll talk to you later about that. But he's going to make this image seem to come to life. And so he's going to be a miracle worker, going to charm, and he's going to intimidate people until they are willing to bow down and worship the beast and take this mark. Somebody said, what is the mark? Well, it's 666. We'll talk about that sometime. But that's not the important thing. What I want you to see today is the doom that takes place. If you take the mark of the beast, the Bible says you face the wrath of God. If you take the mark of the beast, then you're doomed. Look at what it says in Revelation chapter 14 and verses 9 through 11. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image and who receiveth the mark of his name. You're doomed. It's finished. It's over. People say, I don't believe that. Well, it doesn't make any difference. It's still God's word. It's still there. You say, I don't understand how in the presence of the Lamb. Let me tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand this. I don't understand everything, but I believe it all. God said it's going to be doom for those that receive the beast and worship him. This morning, you better have the mark of God. You better be sealed with the Holy Spirit this morning. You better this morning belong to the Lord. Because you see this morning, the doom is coming. We're living in the days, I believe, that the troublesome times are here. The mark of the beast is on the way. I hope, and I'm not going to worry about it because I'm going to be with the Lord. Amen. You see, this morning I close with this. I found this the other day, and I thought it was probably one of the best things I've read in a long time. Really, really helps your heart when you listen to it closely. You see, we live in troublesome times. We live in times when sometimes our hearts race because of fear. Well, listen to this. I'll not be afraid because the light of God surrounds me. The love of God enfolds me. The power of God protects me. The presence of God watches over me. The Spirit of God guides me. The life of God flows through me. The joy of God uplifts me. The strength of God renews me. The beauty of God inspires me. And thank the Lord, wherever I am, God is also. Amen. That's the joy of the Lord today. We're living in those times, but thank God the Lord is with us this morning. The important thing is to make sure that you're one of those that the Lord knows today, that you're one of His. These times are coming. When the rapture of the church takes place, and I don't know when that'll happen. I can't tell you it won't happen before we meet again. Or I can't tell you it won't happen for another number of years. But I can tell you this morning, when the Lord comes, the Bible says that if you've heard the gospel, had the opportunity to come to Christ, and have rejected that, then you're doomed forever. Are you this morning marked by the Lord, or will you receive the mark of the beast? That's the question you have to answer in your own heart this morning. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce, if you and Barbara would come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you might take this very simple message, use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.